Romans chapter 8 tonight. Romans chapter 8. We'll look again at verse number 14. Romans chapter 8, verse number 14. Find that. Stand with us. We'll read it again. Wonderful passage of Scripture. Romans chapter 8. We're talking about our guide through life. Our guide through life. Notice verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Thank you, Lord. Father, now bless the reading and the preaching of your word tonight. I trust and pray that you will accompany it all, that you'll manifest yourself, your glory, have your way. Forgive our sin, give power and unction, zeal and honor to yourself this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated. Our guide through life. Now, I'm going to assume that you were here this morning, that you heard the first part of this message, and I'm not going back to repeat. I've done 3 points. I have 3 points in the message. Number one, where does the Spirit of God lead us? We've gone over that. Tonight, we're going to begin with point number 2. How does the Holy Spirit lead us? How does He lead us? There's a message that I preached several years ago that talks about the voice of God. And Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. They hear me. They know me. They follow me. And in that message, I talked about the voices that we oftentimes hear telling us to go here, to do this, to do that. It's okay. You deserve it. You know, you've worked hard. You ought to have this, blah, blah, blah. The voices. Well, John says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, number 1, he said, beloved, believe not every spirit. Believe not every voice that speaks to you. But try the spirits. Try the voices. I'm reminded of that little cartoon figure so many years ago of the Big Bad Wolf and Little Red Riding Hood. You remember? And how that the wolf got to Grandma's house before Red did and disguised himself as Grandma. And when she came in, she said, Grandma, what big ears you have. And Grandma, what big eyes you have. And he tried to disguise his voice like Grandma and, Grandma, what kind of voice you have? And so we as children of God have the ability to know beyond the shadow of a doubt when God speaks to us. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. They will not follow another. And it's vital that we understand how the Holy Spirit leads us, how He guides us. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So, number one, we talked about this morning that He guides us by His Word. And I gave you the illustration in Psalm 118, verses 5 through 8, of where you're sitting right now was part of that guidance that He gave to us back in 1998, so many years before we actually even turned the shovel in the dirt out here. We dedicated this building in April of 2006, we dedicated this building. And so it was 8 years after the Holy Spirit led us in the direction and gave us the idea of what He wanted. It was 8 years in the process before it came to fruition, but it did come into existence. Oftentimes, we want what we want, and we want it now. And that's what drives us to get ahead of God. We want what we... You know, God's too slow. I mean, it might be a while before He gives us what we need or want. I'm going to go ahead and make this choice. And oftentimes, we get ahead of God. We get in a wrong area, a wrong attitude, and we reap what we sow. Then we want Satan comes along and he's another voice that begins to whisper and say to us, you know, if God had really loved you, he wouldn't have brought you this way. When in reality, we left our guide behind and went without him. So how does the Holy Spirit lead us? Number one, by his word. We need to judge everything by the word of God. If that voice that speaks to you begins to tell you things that are opposite of the word of God, you can count on the fact that it's not the Holy Spirit's leading. It's not God guiding you. God is not going to tell you in one commandment that thou shalt not kill, commit cold-blooded murder, and then in the other tell you to go vote for the liberal Democrat Party because their number one agenda is abortion on demand. God's not going to instruct you that way. And somebody asked me, as I told you this morning, they said, well, we prayed about it and we don't like the personality of the president. We're going to vote this way. And what happens when you vote that way, you're giving people that are in places of position and power, you're literally giving them the proxy of your presence for them to instill laws that will kill on demand, abortion. And you are participants in their crime when you vote in that particular way. People say, well, I don't believe in that, but I'm voting for them because I don't like. No, you're all wrong and you're all washed up. You're going against God's leading. God does not double talk out of both sides of his mouth. He said, thou shalt not murder. That's enough. Period. Plain. And the number one agenda, the other side, abortion on demand, even right up until the time of birth. I mean, we have a perfect form baby, 7-8 pound baby, kicking. And as soon as he's born, he's going to be crying. And you'll hear his voice. You see his little hands and his feet and his little mouth. And yet, abortion on demand to these cruel people is just birth control. But it's the taking of a life of a human being. God does not sanction that. There is no way, no how, that God will be in agreement to that because he's already given us the law. He's already given us his command concerning that. And besides that, in the Old Testament, there's two or three chapters that mentions the fact of the unborn child and what goes on. There's several instances. I believe Jeremiah was one, and he said to Jeremiah, before thou wast born, I knew you. When you were still unformed in the womb of your mother, I knew you, Jeremiah, and I've called you a prophet from the very womb of your mother. What a great thing. How the Holy Spirit leads us. He leads us by the word of God. Not only that, but sometimes he leads us and speaks to us through his preachers as they preach the word. How many times have I been in the service of God and listened and been struck by the reality of things as God the Holy Spirit began to impress upon my mind and upon my heart the very things that I needed to do next? If you listen and you come with a heart that is in submission to God and you're saying, Lord, I want to know your will for my life. I want to be led by your Holy Spirit. You're in submission already. All you have to do is look for the direction. Which way, Lord? What do I do? How do I do it? And oftentimes you find it in the messages that God gives through an individual. I've heard it many, many times and been convicted by the things that was preached again and again. In fact, as I mentioned this morning, the property where you sit now was given during a time of preaching when I heard an individual preaching the Word of God. Wow. There's a third way that the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us. He speaks and guides through the hearts of his people, his saints. He speaks and guides through the hearts and the souls of his saints. In Philippians chapter 2, in verse number 13, for it is God which worketh in you. It is God which energizes. It is God that directs. It is God that gives direction. It is God that gives purpose and a plan. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Where did that thought come from to teach a Sunday school class? Where in the world did that thought come from, that desire to preach the word? Where did that desire come from to go talk to my best friend about Jesus? I'm going to tell you where it came from. It came from the leading of the Holy Spirit of God that resides within you. He talks to and he guides the hearts of his children. There are times in life when there's a check on your soul. There are things that you're making plans to do. And all of a sudden it just does not seem right. There's something that's out of place. You cannot put your finger on it. But there's something that just does not seem right. And I'm going to use that word that I'm not partial to, but I'm going to say it like that. There's something that doesn't feel right. It just doesn't feel right. I've oftentimes heard individuals in the military and in the law enforcement and many other walks of life that have made the statement, if it doesn't feel right, it's probably not right. You need to turn away from it, get away from it. And that's for the child of God. Let's put it this way. I was in Bible college, and a long way from home, I would drive 3-4 hours oftentimes to get to Bible college, spend the night there on a couch, and go to school the next day and the next day and so on. And in one particular situation, being alone, and there were several other preachers that would show up on occasion, and there was one time when one said to me, "Hey, let's go downtown for a little while." I said, "What for?" "Oh, I just to get out." "Okay." So I got in his automobile and rode with him and two more preachers to go downtown. We got there, and the consensus was, "Hey, let's go to the movies." I'm at Bible college. This is nighttime before the next morning. And they said, let's go to this movie. I said, "No, I'm not going." It didn't feel right. It was not right for me. But here were three that are opposed. "Oh, there's nothing wrong with it. It'll be all right, Gunner. Don't be such a stick in the mud." But it didn't feel right. It was not right. The Holy Spirit was giving me a check. Do you understand? Sometimes the Holy Spirit will go against popular opinion, though everybody else is all for it. And, oh, it's harmless. There's something that's not right. And you need to listen to the voice as he tries to lead you and guide you every step of the way. There must be submission in order. First of all, you must be willing to follow, and there must be submission in that life. But sometimes he checks things. He just puts a check on it. There's just something not right about this. I can't tell you exactly what it is, but something just does not feel right. It's strange to my spirit, to my soul. Then walk away from it and leave it alone. The Apostle Paul had on many different occasions opportunities that he was trying to get, and the Holy Spirit would check his spirit, and he would not be allowed to do certain things that he was trying to do for the good, for the better. But the timing was not right. Pay attention. Acts chapter 16, verse 6 and 7. He's talking about Paul and Timotheus and others. And it says, verse 4, as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. A great thing they're doing. They're preaching. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. How did that come about? I'm not sure. He doesn't say. He doesn't tell us everything. Perhaps in their journeying, they could not find anyone going that direction that they needed to go. Perhaps there was a check at the border and you couldn't get across. Maybe they were going to go by sailing ship and go around the long way and there were no ships. I don't know, but the Holy Spirit put a check on them. And I'm telling you, it is real and it is vivid. Notice the next verse, 7. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. The Spirit did not allow them to do as they so desired, even though their motives were pure and their motives were right. The Holy Spirit restrained them and did not let them go into this particular region for a reason. I have to tell you that the Holy Spirit leads by circumstances. The Holy Spirit leads by desires in our soul. As God gives the desire for righteousness, as God gives a desire, but the timing might not be right. We're set on it, but the timing might not. God may not say no to us, but He might say, not now, not now. There's been things in my life that I pressed for and I prayed about. And I said, Lord, if this is not right and this is not what you want for my life, then close the door, close the opportunity, take away the desire and I'll be satisfied. Literally, I don't want to get ahead of you, Lord. And so the desire is still there. And so I'm pressing on with that burden, with that desire, with that go, I'm pressing on. But suddenly, there's this... there's this presence that says, this is not a good time. He did not say no to me, but he says, put it on hold. Let's wait about it for a little while. And you know, every time I paid attention to that, it's worked out for the best. Sometimes we're so bent on getting what we want and getting it now that we push through and fail to hear the warnings of the Holy Spirit saying, perhaps there's a better time. Let's put a hold on it. Let's wait. You need to realize that. I've told you before that there was a group of us that went to Central Asia back in the 90s, the early 90s, when Russia was open and we began carrying the gospel there. We eventually put missionaries there, started a church in Novgorod, Russia, which is just west of St. Petersburg today. And actually east. And so we were in Russia. We had gone from Moscow and flew over to a small town that actually was an Olympic village when Russia hosted the Olympics, the Winter Olympics. And it was right on the border with China, up in the mountains. There was ski. We went and saw all the ski resort where they did all of the competitions, the downhill slaloms and the jumps and everything, and it was empty. I mean, it wasn't being used. The ice skating rinks and everything. Of course, we weren't there in the dead of winter, but nevertheless, we saw that. We caught that bus that you've heard me talk about from Riga down to Kazakhstan. We crossed the border into Kazakhstan and went as far as Tashkent. I preached in a large gathering, a large assembly, a large church there. I have pictures of it where I preached. But that's just right there in Central Asia. And we were wanting to go into Uzbekistan, which is right next to Afghanistan and Tajikistan and all the stans, Turkmenistan, Kyrgyzstan. We're all there. China's just a stone throw away. And we wanted to go over into Uzbekistan in order to get a translated language. All of these nationalities, all of these countries were under the Federation of Russia when the USSR was in existence. But when that broke up, all these people, these indigenous peoples, wanted to revert to their own language and quit speaking Russian, which they were commanded to do under Russian control. So a group of us were actually there trying to get some translations in the languages of the indigenous people so we could print out gospel tracts and get into those nations. We'd been in Kazakhstan, which, by the way, is the Texas of Russia area. They found out we were from Texas, and they said, oh, oh, Kakistan, you know, Tejas, they said, Texas, yes, and it's the Texas of that area. Kakistan and Mongolia are two large nations that are end to end with each other there in that region. And we wanted to get into Uzbekistan, but something wasn't right. Something just wasn't right. And so we gathered together and we talked about it. Are we going in or not? I don't know. How do you feel about it? Well, nobody wanted to really say that, hey, you know, I just don't have a great feeling about this. So they said, okay, we'll pray about it tonight. We'll come back, meet in the morning, and make a decision what is right and what is not right. We did that, and we honestly prayed, and we read our Bibles, and we thought individually. We came back, we discussed it, and to the man, I think there were four of us, to the man, each one said we shouldn't go. The Holy Spirit is saying don't go. There was a foreboding spirit about crossing that border and going farther. There was something the Spirit was just saying, don't go. It was like the blackness of night that covered over the sun and over the moon. And it just stopped the light completely. It was a foreboding. So we felt good about the choice that we made. We felt good about that the Lord was leading us not to go, even though we were trying to get the Bible in gospel tract form translated into that indigenous language for a good purpose and a good cause. We didn't feel good about it. We did not go. So we started getting ready to make our journey back to Moscow, and we found out a couple days later that civil war just broke out in Uzbekistan and the borders were all closed. You could not go in. You could not come out. We would have been right in the middle of it and the borders would have closed behind us and no telling what would have happened or where we were. The fighting was going on all along that country. Holy Spirit, our guide through life, told us not to go. We didn't go. And God blessed. And we saw the reason why he didn't want us to go, because the news was full. You could see the burned out cars. You could see the trucks crashed on the side of the road and indigenous people fighting from a ditch on the news broadcast and people getting shot and so on and so on. We would have been right in that. And God said, don't go. We have a guide who leads us as the children of God. If we pay attention to him, he oftentimes leads through circumstances in life that we cannot explain why this happened this way and why that happened that way. But as we get down the road, we look back and we say, oh, well, this is for this purpose, and now I understand. The Holy Spirit oftentimes leads through circumstances in our lives. He leads by the testimony of others in our lives. He leads by the preaching of the Word of God, and he leads us by the Word of God, oftentimes in such a way that we know about it directly. I was in Hamilton, Ohio, years ago, knocking doors. You've heard me testify of it. The Holy Spirit told me, and I'd been knocking middle of the afternoon. It was hot and humid. I was ready to quit. The Holy Spirit was saying, keep going, keep going. And I said, man, you got to be kidding me. I've been doing all this work. I've knocked all these. No. I'm arguing with myself. It was the Holy Spirit saying, keep going. Do the other side of the street and then go home. I said, no, I'm back at my car now. I'm leaving. I got in my car, and as soon as I turned on the key, my heart condemned me. I felt like a low-down, worthless dog. Do you understand that feeling? I mean, for one, I preach against going by feelings. We should go by faith. But at that moment, I quenched the Holy Spirit, and I knew what had happened. It's too late now. I went on to the house. But that night, it was visitation at church, and it came back, and my wife and I went and finished knocking the doors on that side of the street. And the last house down, we ended up leading the man to Christ. Eventually, we got his wife saved. He got him saved, got his wife saved several days later, and got his kids on the bus route. They got saved. They started coming, and we got that whole family into church because of the direction and leadership of the Holy Spirit. You see that? But sometimes we quench the Spirit. He's trying to do a good thing in our life, and we get ahead or behind him. There's a story that's told of a certain friend years and years ago when the mode of travel was by horseback or buggy. A certain friend who one night was influenced. He could not shake the presence of the Holy Spirit telling him to saddle up his horse. It's dark outside. And ride to the neighbor's house, which was 6 miles, and speak to him. It's dark outside. Nevertheless, being the Christian individual he was, he listened to the wooing of the Holy Spirit, saddled up his horse, and rode 6 miles to a certain house where lived a person whom he had never seen before. He arrived at midnight and knocked on the door. He was presently answered by the master of the house, who seemed to be in a great confusion of mind. The midnight visitor said, "Friend, I've been sent to thee. I know not why, but surely the Lord has some reason for having sent me to you. Is there anything peculiar about your circumstances?" The man of the house was struck with amazement. Asked the visitor to come upstairs, and there showed him a rope tied over a beam of the ceiling. He was putting the rope about his neck to commit suicide when a knock sounded at the door. He resolved that he would go down and answer the call and then return and destroy himself later. But the friend whom God had sent talked to him, brought him to a cooler mind, and helped him in the great difficulty which embarrassed him. And the man lived to be an honorable Christian man. We never know. Why can't I go to sleep? Why is George on my mind so much? Years ago, that same thing happened with me. And my friend in Arkansas, my best friend that you've heard me talk about on many occasions, was on my heart and so heavily. He was there, and I said, "Why is this? Why? What's going on? Lord, are you trying to tell me something?" And I sat down and I wrote him a note. Actually, it was a front and back page note. A spiritual note of encouragement and godliness and how good a friend is and a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I wrote him several things, and I mailed it. He got that letter the day before they found his dad dead of a heart attack in the rice field. The day before. He said, "Your note was of great encouragement to me when my dad passed away." When I found out, I called him, and I said, "I'm sorry that I can't be there," and he said, "I got your note." He said it was a great encouragement in this time. We do not know, but we should not argue with God. He leads us. He leads us. Sometimes not just for our own good, but for the good of others. He leads us. He puts someone on our heart, someone on our mind. We should call them. We should write them. We should note them. We should pray for them. Something's going on. And there is much help that is needed, led by the Spirit of God. It does not say driven by the Spirit of God. Notice in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, he says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Yes, they are. Yes, they are. led of the Spirit, not driven by the Spirit. The devil is a driver. He's not a leader. Think about it. All the riots and all the unrest that is going on is a fanatical, Spirit-driven occurrence that is happening across America, but God's not involved in that. Think about it. When Jesus cast the demons out of the individual, there were more than 2,000 of them in that particular individual, that maniac. And he cast them out, and they went and took control of a herd of swine. And they were so driven and so furious and so fanatical that they ran down the steep hillside over a cliff and into the sea, and it killed every single one of them. The devil is a driver. When you see a wild and fanatical individual or people, they are not driven by the Holy Spirit, but they are driven by another spirit. John says in 1 John 4:1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try them to see whether they are of God or not." There's a third point. When does the Holy Spirit lead us? When? Well, the answer is He always leads us. As a child of God, as a father or a mother, when did you lead your children? As a father or a mother, when did you start watching over and protecting them or not protect? You say, "Well, I always protect them. I always watched over them." Well, exactly the same way that God is. Our guide in life always watches over us. Though we sometimes think we can do all right by ourselves, we can steer all right, we can guide ourselves, we can hurry up and get what we want. God is too slow. Get ourselves into trouble too many times in that direction. When does the Holy Spirit guide us or lead us? He always leads us. He's constantly there for us, and we should be mindful of those things and alert to those things in a great way. When are the sons of God led by the Spirit of God? Quote, "When they are as they should be, they are always distinctly led by Him, and though owing to sin in them," sin in us, "they are not always obedient to the same degree, yet the power which usually influences their lives is the Spirit of God." Can you say amen to that? Amen. I know He's always leading me, but there are times when I'm more in touch with Him than I am at others. I know He's always leading me, but there's more times that I am more aware of and more dependent upon His leadership and His guidance than I am at others. Sometimes I'm too confident. Sometimes I'm too proud. Sometimes I think I have an awareness of these things when I should stop, pray, "Lord, is this direction You want me to go?" Sometimes, instead of just letting the automobile pick the way, and you know very well, if you go to work the same direction all the time, that your automobile will go there almost without thinking. Sometimes I pray and say, "Lord, is there a change here? Do You want me to go another way? Should I go on?" And sometimes there's an impression, turn down this street or go that route. And I do. Sometimes I see the reason, sometimes I don't. I don't understand, but I want to be in submission to our great guide. I found that I stay out of trouble a whole lot more if I let Him guide rather than me. Oh, yeah. I can guide it myself. I can steer it myself. I can do it myself. And boy, is there trouble. When are the sons of God led by the Spirit of God? Well, the answer is when they are as they should be, they are always distinctly led by God. And though owing to sin in them, they are not always obedient to the same degree. Yet the power which usually influences their lives is the Spirit of Almighty God. Oh, So there's a test here. If you think about it, there's a test. Am I led by God? Do I follow Him? Because if you're not being led by the Holy Spirit of God and you're not following Him, then you're not His child. Oh, do I have the guidance of God in my life that I need? If you're a child of God, you do. Maybe there's sin in your life that's keeping you from seeing that or following that or obeying that. If that be the case, then repentance is needed in your life. Not repentance to be born again, but repentance to forsake the sin that comes between you and God. The repentance that will restore your sight and your understanding of His presence and His leadership and His voice, Lord God. Please do not allow me to deny you to the point that I hear your voice, but I don't hear it. I become so desensitized to your presence and your voice that I no longer hear you guiding. I don't want to be there. I don't want to be that kind of person in that kind of position. I want God to lead. Then there's a second thing. If that be the case, there's a consolation here. Well, the consolation is if I get right with God and totally submit to Him and turn my life over to Him, He will guide me in such a way that I understand that's the leadership of God. And sometimes He'll say, that's a good thing, but don't do it now. Or sometimes He might say, just to test your obedience, get up and do it now. But Lord, it's not convenient for me. I've already got my bed clothed. Do it now. Do you love me? Keep my commandments. I don't want to desensitize myself to not be able to hear the guidance and the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's better to obey than to sacrifice again and again. Consolation. Perhaps sometimes we get to looking way ahead and we're afraid of the difficulties in our old age, in the deaths of people that we are related to or we know. We think that now God has not given us eyes to see into the future. And what is the use of peering where we cannot see? Leave it to your Heavenly Father, and you will be unerringly led by the Holy Spirit. Well, what about day after tomorrow, preacher? I'm supposed to be in such and such place, and I'm going to have these. Listen, leave it up to God. When the day gets here, you'll have the sight to see and the understanding to understand the way you're to go and how you're to go. And we oftentimes think about, well, but what if this individual dies? What am I going to do? Well, let's wait until that day comes. And then He will give guidance. The women that rushed to the tomb of Jesus, before they ever left and before they got there, what was their great concern and their great worry? Who shall roll us away the stone? It's so big, it's so heavy. Who will roll away the stone for us? And yet they went on anyway. They were being guided by the Holy Spirit of God. They went on anyway. And guess what? When they got there, their greatest worry and their greatest concern was already moved. So it is with us. Things that I've contemplated and things that I've fretted over, once I got in that direction, I found that it was nothing at all. In the hand of God, it's nothing at all. God is able to take care of everything and make every grace abound toward us. We need to leave it all up to our Heavenly Father. When you come to the place where you thought there would be a great difficulty, very likely there will be none. Go on as a child of God, walking by faith with the full assurance that the path of faith, if though not an easy one, will always be a safe one, and all will be well, and you will be led in a right way to the city of habitations. Glory to God. Glory. When does the Holy Spirit lead us? Always. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The text does not say, as many as run in the Spirit are the sons of God. The text does not say that as many as can fly like eagles are led by God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We may stumble along the way. We may falter at following the leadership of our guide. We might be slow to grasp and slow to exercise faith. We may go on crutches along the way, or we may crawl on hands and knees, but none of these keep us from being led by the Spirit of God. For as many as are led, no matter how we are physically or mentally, as many as are led, and we have to be followers if we're to be led. We have to have the mindset that I'm going to follow Jesus no matter where he leads, no matter what he says, no matter what he asks me to do, I'm going to follow Jesus. And you know what? The next time he comes and leads us, it's easier to recognize his hand and to hear his voice than it was the first time when we had such difficulty and argument with ourselves in trusting him and just obeying him and exercising faith. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Lastly, the age, the strength, or the education of the man is not essential to his sonship. But the trueness of his birth is the all-important matter of being led by the Spirit. See to it that you are led by the Spirit, or else your parentage is not from above. If the Holy Spirit does not guide your life and does not lead your life, if there is not a battle within you where the Spirit of God is jealous over the flesh and the flesh's leadership, if there is not a battle there, and there is not a leadership of the Holy Spirit there, then you're none of His. You're not. You don't belong to God. Make sure of that. How does the Holy Spirit lead us? He guides us by His Word. He speaks and guides us through His preachers. He speaks and guides the hearts of saints and puts checks and balances in our emotions and our desires. He guides us by circumstances in our life. The devil is a driver, but the Holy Spirit is a leader, a shepherd to guide us. When does the Holy Spirit lead us? Always. Through every occasion, every day, 1,000 times a day, in the little things and the big things. Don't just wait to give him the big things. He'll guide you through the smallest things in life if you will listen. Thank God for the personal guidance he gives us. It's like a mother and a father who would not just turn their child loose and say, okay, you can walk now, just take care of yourself and do whatever you want. There's a growing period. And a young Christian learns to listen to the Holy Spirit's guidance. A young Christian learns how to make those choices based upon what God is saying to us at the moment. We learn to pay attention and know He's trying to guide. He's trying to lead. But it takes us submitting and us as followers in order to get there clearly in the way and how and the place where He wants us to be. Thank God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You understand that if Christian people paid more attention, knowing that verse to be true, their marriages would be different. Their home lives would be different. Their education, their amusements, the places they inhabit and go, their finances, everything would change when they began to rely completely upon the leadership of Almighty God in life. They're voting. It amazes me that people claim to be Christian people and cannot see the evil in that other side. It amazes me. They're either blind, they're not following leadership, or they're not born again, period. I don't know which. Let's stand, be dismissed tonight. Thank God He has His hand on us and His leadership readily available. Have you ever gotten ahead of God?